all places of the creator of the universes, and their sustainer, the provider of believers and unbelievers. And may his choicest blessings be on the seal of his prophets, the last of his messengers, and his holy progeny. Glorified is Allah, who in his holy book, in chapter 77, verse 8, says, فَإِذَا النُّجُومُ طُمِسَتْ. When the stars become dim. And then again, in chapter 81, verse 2, he says, وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ أَنْكَدَرَتْ. And when the stars darken. And thirdly, he swears, says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. Nay, no, I swear by the falling of stars. That is Surah Waqia, verse 75. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وَإِنَّهُ لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ قَسَمٌ عَظِيمٌ. And if you know, that is a very serious, great oath. Well, what are these stars then that are dim? We contemplate of stars as twinkling stars in the sky. We contemplate of stars as those that provide light, even if it is dim light. But what are these stars which not only become dim, but they darken straight away? These are the stars that constitute the black holes of today. So let us examine how science has discovered the existence of these black holes and how do they function. Black holes basically are the ultimate demise of many stars when these stars die. That is their true function. Well, how does this come about? How do these stars die? And how do they become black holes? We have considered broadly and made such statements even last year without more opportunity to go into detail as to how stars are born every day and how stars die every day. Well, how does this actually occur? Because Quran says about this. It says about the Nujum, فَإِذَا النُّجُومُ طُمِسَتْ. They become dim and they become أَنْكَدَرَتْ. They become dark. So how does that happen at all? Essentially, therefore, our sitting is to understand Quran. Because Quran makes these statements which we need to understand. We need to know what is going on. But in the process of trying to understand what Quran is teaching, we get a glimpse of the majestic power of Allah, glorified and exalted in his creation of this universe, and the length to which Allah has gone in bringing about this creation. These stars, these black stars, are really discovered only in about 1969. So you can see how recent this discovery is. And Quran talks about it centuries ago. Centuries ago we told about the existence of these stars which go dim and they go dark. Black holes basically are the dead stars into which matter has fallen, and they have become dim and darkened. So you can see the exact words that Allah Ta'ala uses in Quran is the explanation, the definition of black holes by the scientists of today. And scientists only about 40 years ago find this. And they say that these black holes pierce into the space around them. They do not only rotate, but they pierce into them because they are then dead. They do not have the energy to rotate as they did when they were alive. So they pierce around the space around them, and time passes more and more slowly in them than time passes on earth. Much greater interval of time, maybe thousands of years would pass on earth comparing to what might be just a course of a day or a course of time in the black hole. Well, how does that all come about? Two processes constantly are taking place in massive stars. And I am not talking of ordinary stars here when we are talking of black holes. We are talking of these huge stars. And we will soon, in a few minutes, discover how huge must these stars be. Two functions take place simultaneously. Firstly is the nuclear fusion. That is the first step, the nuclear fusion. The result of nuclear fusion is that it blows the star's hydrogen outward from the center of the star. And second is the gravitational pull, because each of these stars have their own gravitational pull, as we have already examined. We examined this even last year. So there is this gravitational pull by which hydrogen that is created in these stars is pushed, is sucked back, is pulled back by the star. But at the same time, because of the nuclear fusion that is taking place, hydrogen is produced which is pushed out. So there is a process by which hydrogen is pushed out and a process by which hydrogen is pushed in. Actually speaking, it is this molten in the star that produces this energy by burning hydrogen, and the result is that so much vast energy is produced. Indeed, the scientists today say that what is happening all the time in these massive stars is that hydrogen bombs are being exploded. It is through these processes that man came to discover the hydrogen bomb and the catastrophe that takes place in it, and the energy that it produces, the destruction that the hydrogen bomb can cause. So these hydrogen bombs, as it were, are being exploded, and all that hydrogen is being pushed out of the star. When the star exhausts its resources and is no longer able to produce the hydrogen, the result then is that more hydrogen is sucked in by the gravitation than the production of hydrogen. And as production of hydrogen decreases, the strength of the star decreases. Its ability to rotate diminishes. Its speed diminishes. Indeed, it reaches a stage at which it then is not able to balance itself, and it loses its balance. And this, because there is a gravitational pull, is the only pull that pulls it in. And the result then is that the star caves in. So when it becomes that old, and when I say old, maybe it has already lived for a billion years, but when it becomes to a stage at which it loses its energy, it caves in. And when it caves in, and it caves in primarily because there is no external force pushing hydrogen out, pushing helium out, and yet there is the force pushing things in, pulling things in, the gravitational force. Now, that is the time when, as I said, the stellar stars, we discussed the interstellar motion in the space between stars yesterday. So all those stars that are there, and all those stars that have been converted into stars through the smoke and the substances in that space, all get sucked in to the black hole. The result is that the pressure and the weight of what is sucked in caves the star in, and as the star caves in, it darkens. That light is lost. Indeed, the capacity then to suck in becomes so high that even the light that is emitted by the sun, all the rays move towards that black hole. The black hole attracts all that light, and all that light is sucked in. Having been sucked in, it is not able to come out again. Such is the strength of retention by the black holes which are already there. So you can see that as it is not able to emit light at all, it darkens and it becomes dim. That is the process by which we find that these nujum have become, فَإِذَا النُّجُومُ تُصِمَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. And then that ayah that we recited from Surah Waqiyah, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ إِنَّهُ لَقَسَمٌ عَظِيمٌ. That ayah which says that I swear by that star which is hiding things, that star by which there is the falling of the stars, and the falling of the stars sucks it in and hides it. That process, indeed, that Surah Waqiyah talks about is the process by which stars that fall are sucked in, and this star, the black hole itself, is then known as a star that has fallen, because it is no longer a live star, and it is not a live star because it is not producing energy anymore, it is only eating away energy. But scientists say that on examination they found that it is not any star that can become a black hole. A star that is only 1.4 times of the mass of the sun does not become a black hole. It only becomes a white dwarf, what is called in science a white dwarf. If the mass of that star, of the star that is now dead, is 3 times the mass of the sun, so you can imagine, it's got to be, its material, its metal in it has got to be 3 times more than the material which is in the sun. And I hope we will tonight, inshallah, discuss the material in the sun. If it is 3 times more, it becomes a neutron star. I want to introduce this now because I will soon come to neutron stars. Then it becomes a neutron star. It is still there, but it is a neutron star. It's not a black hole. It is only if the star has a capacity 3 times larger than the mass of the sun that it becomes a black hole. So can you imagine the creation of Allah, glorified and exalted, that the sun that we regard as so huge, so tremendous, so magnificent, and emitting so much energy that being 93 million miles away from us sends us enough energy both in the form of heat and light, and both those energies come to us. Without that heat we would not survive, without that light we would not survive. And the fantastic thing about the sun is that it provides this energy to every square inch on the earth. Every square inch on the earth which needs that light and that heat is provided, that heat and light, by this magnificent sun that Allah has provided for us. Now, despite its huge size, one finds that a star to become a black hole needs 3 times more, 3 times more mass in order that it becomes anything like a black hole. Well, so we now know what a dark star is, which Quran talks about. We know what a dim star is, and what are these falling stars? And indeed, those are the serious ones. بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ. And indeed, that word مَوَاقِعَ is a plural, and it means hiding place. Hiding place of a star that has fallen. So you can see that anything that is in that interstellar galactic motion is absorbed, and anything that passes by is absorbed. But the result is that as it has become so old, its motion becomes so less. The result is that time passes very slowly. Passes very slowly, so much so that if an astronaut made a trip from the Earth to the black hole, visited the black hole, and came back, he would find his son, whom he left just a few years ago, has become much older than him. He will find that maybe 1,000 years have already passed on earth. Well, if he has invested any money in a bank, going and asking for interest of 1,000 years would make him rich, wouldn't it? But that assumes that that bank would survive for 1,000 years. So it's not helpful to him in that way either. He will have lost the time on earth altogether. But that gives us an idea of the relative time on those stars and the relative time here. Another coincidental matter on this very point is that the temperature in the black hole is immense. We are talking of 1,000 degrees centigrade just in that hole. Now, you can imagine that being the prototype of hell, of the fire of hell. That is then the prototype which Allah talks about, and we now know what hell can be like. Those black holes might constitute hell with the fire that is in it and the fantastic temperatures of that fire. Dua Quran, which I was expecting would be recited tonight, but according to program was not, talks about that fire of hell, and Imam Ali alayhi salam having given description of that fire in Dua Kumail proceeds to pray that we should be spared of that fire. So one can well see how time flows so very slowly in that part. Well, and so that ayah of Quran, تَعْرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ 50,000 years. That the malaika and ruh, that the angels and the spirits move, ascend to Allah, to a place where the time goes so slowly that the miqdar, the equivalent of one day would be 50,000 years. The point I was making yesterday, but time did not allow us to conclude that point. This teaching that we get in our madrasas when we are young, that one day will be of the length of 50,000 years, is now easy to understand. One can see that day of judgment, which will be of one day, it will be a day of judgment, but it will be a day that will span out to 50,000 years. This is how it will span out to the 50,000 years. The black hole no longer has a surface. If it had a surface, it would glitter, there would be light on it. As I said, it would have caved in, so it would be black. The peripheral will be spherical. So man will be standing at the edge of that sphere. There was a suggestion that we discuss the hereafter, and inshallah, if there is opportunity, we shall discuss the hereafter. And in particular, when I discuss the hereafter, my aim is not to say how horrendous it will all be. My aim is not to create a frightful scene, no. My aim always is, how do we spare ourselves? What are the cures for the hereafter? How can we make our hereafter easier, more comfortable, more convenient for us? How can we get Jannah? You know, how can we get paradise instead of hell without giving ourselves targets which we cannot achieve? It's no use saying we recite 1,000 rakat namaz every night to go to Jannah. We know we can't do it. So in practical terms, how can all this be done? And all this can be done because Allah does not create paradise for us not to reach it. As I said yesterday, He creates nothing in vain. So one can see that these black holes also are not created in vain. They have their purpose. And the purpose is that it may well be that those who are destined for hell will get around that particular sphere. Tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah. Let me just, I'm not digressing, I'm on that subject, but let me introduce whilst within that subject a topic for Laylatul Jumu'ah. One of the ibadah of Laylatul Jumu'ah is to recite Ziyarat-e-Warif, which we recited. And this hadith is authenticated by Sahibul Asri wal Zaman Ajjalallahu Farajah. Well, if we get into that next year, inshallah, we'll discuss that particular hadith. He has authenticated, and when seen by Haji Ali Baghdadi, an industrialist, a person who had industries in Baghdad, and they were together that night, what the 12th Imam Ajjalallahu Farajahu did was recite Ziyarat-e Warith from wherever he was. The thawab for remembrance of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and the recitation of Ziyarat-e Warith on that particular night is Jannah. It is fantastic to say this, but there is good reason for this hadith. And Imam, the 12th Imam alayhi salam, authenticated that hadith in his conversations with Haji Ali Baghdadi. The result on that day will be that those people who will be gathered at these, on the brink, what is called the brink of Jahannam, we now understand that they really are these black holes, and the brinks of the black holes will have sucking power, it will suck people in. And the temperatures will be of enormous degrees. But if there is a lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, then the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam will come and suck them each from there. They may not be able to resist the gravitational pull of the black hole, but Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam will take them one by one from there and save them even getting anywhere close to the black hole. Ask the 6th Imam alayhi salam explained that we will be at pains to ensure that our friends do not reach the brink of of course in that hadith calls the fire of hell. We now know what the fire of hell might be. He says we do not allow them to reach even the brink of that fire of hell, because if they only reach the brink of it and then we go and pull them out from there, by then they would be charred. They would not even have entered. Men would not even have entered the hell, and yet they would be charred. And that fear of being close to hell would be so immense that by the time we put them in heaven, they will be so tormented that they will take years in paradise only to recover from that torment of just seeing the fire of hell. We now understand that other hadith of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, in which he says that those who have friendship with Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam will be at a distance of 1 year's journey from the fire of hell. In other words, friends of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam will not even see, let alone feel or experience the fire of hell. They will not even be able to see the fire of hell, and it will be at least at a distance of a journey of one full year. When we read these hadiths and we come across these statements like, oh, one day will be 50,000 years, or there'll be a journey of 1 year separating men from the fire of hell, we begin to wonder, are these sensible calculations? Are these periods just given as an estimate? Are they just being given to please the lovers of Ahlul Bayt? Indeed not. And I say no with all the confidence, firstly because the people who say these hadiths are not ordinary people. They are not people like you and I who will say things to give an idea. They are people who never lie. And to them a lie is even a white lie. There is nothing to them like a white lie or a black lie. They will not utter an untruth at all. So unless that distance is physically a distance of 1 year's journey, they would not say 1 year. And unless the sawab for a particular salah is not the sawab of 70 rakat for praying only one rakat, they would not say so. If it is 69, they would have said 69 and not 70. So all these figures that we get are not fanciful, they are truthful. The reason why we are not able to understand them is our lack of knowledge. And this is one reason why I thought we spend time in Muharram learning about these scientific matters, because they enable us to understand Quran. That is the basic thing. They enable us to understand that when the Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, A'imma salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim, they tell us these figures, they are not figures that are manufactured, they are not figures that are created in vain, they are not figures only to give us an estimate, they are realities. Because they only dealt with realities. And they were able to deal with realities because this knowledge that we get today, they had and at that particular time. And they had that knowledge at that particular time because when Allah Ta'ala in His mercy sends the Holy Book, and the Holy Book has such ayats in it, then He sends representatives on earth. Those representatives must be vested with knowledge about the interpretation of these ayats. Because if a human being whom Allah has created and wishes to become a Muslim or has become a Muslim, goes to that person who claims to be representative of Allah, claims to be the messenger of Allah, indeed, says that the ayah was revealed on him and through his lips he teaches that ayah to the people. Then if the people ask him, what does this ayah mean? He has to be able to explain what it means. And when he is gone, then those who represent the Prophet should be able to explain these things. If there is a person, therefore, who cannot explain these things, we refuse to accept him as the Caliph of the Holy Prophet. If you sit, this is a person who sits on the minbar and says, well, don't accept whatever I say is correct. He says that. If you think what I have said is correct, follow me. If you think what I said is not correct, don't follow me. He is disbarred from becoming a Caliph. He is disqualified. He becomes a true Caliph of the Holy Prophet, who sits on the minbar of the Holy Prophet and says, Saluni, saluni, qabla an tasaluni. Ask me whatever you want to ask me, and I will tell you. Because it is your right that I should be able to tell you. It is no favor, it is no boast. Let me say this very clearly. It is no boast by Imam Ali alayhi salam or any of the Imams alayhi salam when they said that. They were only extending to us what is our right from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will not send an ayah of Quran without sending a person who can explain us. I had the opportunity when we were discussing Imam Sadiq alayhi salam to discuss about pulses. And I discussed about quasars. And when we discussed quasars, do you remember? We discussed about, and he was asked, the sixth Imam alayhi salam was asked about quasars. Quasars came to be known by us only about what? 30 years ago? As I said, the black hole, 1969. Pulsating stars, which I hope I'll come to now, because I do wish to try and complete the question of stars tonight so that we move on according to a schedule that I've already given to you to other subjects. Those pulsating stars were discovered by us only in 1967. Allah created them billions of years ago, and I'm not saying this, the scientist is saying this. Created these billions of years ago. So how great must that Allah be? But then, if we discovered these matters only, we discovered the black holes in 1969, the pulsating stars in 1967, how come the Prophet knew about these things 1400 years ago? The answer can only be one answer. That knowledge that he got, that ayah which he says came from Allah and he recited it, did not come from a human source. Because human sources did not have that knowledge, did not have that resource at all. It could only have come from Allah. Authenticity of the Holy Book is further fortified. You and I have no problem about authenticity of the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah, even when we did not know about these stars, we were prepared to accept the stars darken, and we were prepared to accept the stars dim. But blind faith is not the purpose of Islam. It is not the purpose of A'imma alayhim as-salam. They've always emphasized that we must acquire knowledge so that our faith is not based on blindness. It is based on concrete facts. And when we are asked about it, we have ready answers about it. And this is so much emphasized that Imam Jafar Sadiq, salawatullahi wa salam alayhi, in his classes, used to have a blackboard behind him. And on that blackboard there was only one saying. We know of the sayings of Hazrat Amir alayhi salam, because at the end of Nahjul Balagha there are sayings, there is a part of Nahjul Balagha which says sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salam. I had opportunity when I was discussing the Imama of Imam Hussain alayhi salam to tell you about sayings of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. There is a long list of sayings of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Likewise, as you know, there is a long list of the sayings of Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. Normally we come across these books which say 40 ahadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, 40 sayings of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, but there are not 40. Those are only selected. There is a long list. And the list of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is so huge. From that huge list, he selects one to put it behind him as he speaks in his classes in Masjid al-Nabawi. And we have already discussed this when we discussed his imamah, that he did not lecture to students, he lectured to teachers. Those who were in his classrooms numbered 4,000, and each one of them was a teacher who wrote books and left books behind. And this is how we come to get this knowledge that we talk about, which was not known at that time. And in that, the saying that he had behind him was that he is not an orphan who has no mother or father. He is the orphan who has no knowledge. That is what Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said. Because the purpose was that we acquire knowledge. And hence these sittings are vital, because they provide us knowledge. And when he and that knowledge enables us to understand Allah better, then that sajda we make does not give us thawab of one sajda. Then when we know the Allah who has created these black holes, the Allah who has created that nar which might be the black holes, the Allah who has created the jannah, the Allah who has created the quasars and the sun and the firmament, and has created us the way he has created us. We haven't had the opportunity to discuss that at all. How our organs function and how they are connected. I have given priority to the other creation, because he himself in Quran says there are two creations of mine which are worth tremendous study. One is looking at yourself within yourself, because within yourself is a universe. And one is the universe that you see when you look outside yourself. But my creation outside yourself was akbaru, was greater than the creation within. So this is why we give priority to that particular creation. Then that sajda carries thawab of 70 sajdas in one sajda. It is that ma'rifah, that knowledge of Allah, that gives us. Because then that sajda is not made as a sajda, as the Prophet said, of a slave. It is made as a sajda of a person who knows his Allah and knows why he is making sajda to him. It is a sajda of a human being. Allah has created angels, he has created jinn, he has created, and everybody worships. Everything that is on this earth worships. The plants worship Allah, and the trees worship Allah, and the wind worships Allah. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّهُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَحُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. There is nothing in it except that it worships Allah. Except that you are not able to hear their tasbih. In that whistling of the breeze, there is tasbih that we cannot listen. In the flickering of the leaves of the plants, there is tasbih that we cannot listen to. But there is tasbih, because Allah has not created them in vain. They have been created for a purpose, and they too worship Allah. So there are many worshippers of Allah. But when He created all that, He decided He would worship, He would create man with intellect. And then would tell man, you decide for yourself whether you are going to worship me or you are not going to worship me. What a generous law to give us the freedom to decide whether we worship Him or not. But He sent us the book and He sent us the prophets to tell us what is the truth and why we should worship Him and how we would be in the loss if we didn't. He says, Inna hadayna kumus sabeen, imma shakirun, imma kafura. I have given you the implement, the knowledge by which you can know where the right path is. Then it's up to you whether you become ungrateful or you become grateful and make the sajda of shukr to me. So it is in that spirit that the Imam alayhi salam wanted us to know exactly what is happening. And hence 14 centuries ago, all these matters were made known to us. I said, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in his speeches talked about quasars, and you can see that it is these quasars that become black holes. It is not small stars that become black holes, they have no significance. They just die without being able to produce any result. But suddenly, it was in 1967 that a lady scientist by the name of Jocelyn Bell in England discovered that looking at the data from a radio telescope, she found to her surprise that there was a radio source. That was emitting a pulse of radiation every 1.3 seconds. And this absolutely amazed her, that every second, broadly speaking, there was a pulse. And she could not understand. The first reaction was that there are people outside who are trying to talk to us. But it wasn't. They ultimately came to understand that there are pulses, these are stars. Stars that have already become that have already become dead, but because their mass was not more than three times the mass of the sun, they became neutron stars. And this is why I told you I laid foundation for what is a neutron star, because I was wanting to come to this. And they discovered that these neutron stars, it rotates but with much less speed because it is dead. And exactly there also, time goes very slowly. 50,000 years can pass one day of this world. And as its name, pulsar, denotes, it emits pulses at regular intervals. And the pulses are detected when the radio beam sweeps through its directions and reaches the earth. Then it is detected, like the lighthouse beacon. And this is what we are able to see. In reality, there is no pulse, there is no emission of radio waves. It's not that there is a radio wave that goes on or that goes off. No, the reality is that this neutron star rotates at a small pace because it is already losing its energy. But as it rotates, as it spins on its axis, it is tilted to its magnetic poles. And it is from the poles that radio waves escape. And those radio waves are what come to us. And hence we get an impression that there is a pulse, when in fact a pulse has not been emitted. It is the extra emission of radio waves from the magnetic poles of this star. We found a great discovery when we got these radio waves, because then we were able to sit in one part of the world and get these waves in another. And then when television came, we thought it was such a great discovery. But you can see that these radio waves were already created by Allah and were within His knowledge and control long before man was even born, when these stars were created. And what is a greater wonder is, and for which we thank Allah immensely, particularly tonight as we discuss these things from His book, that he gave us knowledge of these stars. And he gave us knowledge of these stars through his prophet. Maybe, I agree, that all the people, all the companions of the prophet, leave alone the people, even the companions may not have understood all this when all these ayats came. They only had themselves to blame. If they had asked Imam Ali alayhi salam, then instead of asking Imam Ali how many hair they have on their head, they had asked about pulse of stars, and they had asked about neutron stars, he would have told them. He would have told them, was it not he who even went out of his way to say that I know the paths of the skies better than the roads of the earth? Isn't this what Imam Ali alayhi salam said? And I emphasize again, this was not a boast. He was not saying this to boast about it. His knowledge was so immense that he did not need to boast about it. The proof of that is in Nahjul Balagha. There is living proof of his knowledge. He did not need to boast about it. The Holy Prophet himself had said, "Anna Madinatul Ilm wa Aliyul Babuha." And there's an end there. He said, "Anna Madinatul Hikmah wa Aliyul Babuha." And the Fasir that he knew, the thousand doors opening another thousand doors that we mentioned about last week. So he had no reason, he had no purpose to boast about these things at all. What he was doing was putting an invitation. He was inviting his audience. Ask me now while I am alive. Ask me about the heavens and I will tell you. Because I know the roads of heaven better than I know the streets of this world. But we didn't. And yet we come across these ayats in the Holy Book. For example, the ayats in chapter 81. Verses 15 and 16, in which it says, "Fala uqsimu bil khunnas," and the oath by that which hides, "al jawari lil khunnas," that I swear by the stars, he says, and the stars, al jawari khunnas, that run their course and hide themselves. Now you can see the black holes, the neutron stars, and the well described in the Holy Quran in exactly that way, those stars that run their course, and having run their course, hide themselves. The specialists in Arabic say that word nukas means exactly that. It means exactly that. It means that which is hiding. That's something which is beautiful and nice to see, and yet it is hiding itself. The stars, as we talk of these twinkling stars, and now it's hiding itself. That is exactly what the Holy Book talks about. And when it first talked about stars that hide themselves, what did man understand? What did man understand? But today when the scientist is shown these statements, as I've already said last night, and I do not wish to take your time again on it, they become baffled, and they themselves agree that this is not information that could be given by a man to the Holy Prophet. This is only information that could have come from a source that knew all this. And our simple answer is, who knew all these things better than the very creator of these things? And how can all this take place without a definite creator? All these things that we're talking about are organized things. They are organized motions. They are organized energies. And imagine the sun producing energy for, the scientists say, 4 billion years now. And yet it has only exhausted half of its energy. And it can live another 4 billion years before the dead sun from which we derive the light can die. More of this tomorrow, inshallah. But for the moment, let me wind up tonight, because it is Laylatul Jum'ah, and there is nothing that can take us nearer to Allah than remembering the sufferings of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and his family, because it is through those sufferings that we meet tonight. It is through those sufferings that we have an excuse to look, to open the book, to read these ayahs and understand more about them. Because more we understand of those ayahs, the more we know our Creator. These are indeed sittings on Tawheed. But Imam Hussein alayhi salam could see that all this will be destroyed. Indeed, the Holy Quran will be destroyed completely if he made the bay'ah of Yazid. As I reminded you yesterday, Yazid was so shameless, so utterly shameless, and I don't hesitate to say this for the reason I will just give, that he would sit on that chair of Khilafah of Islam. He called himself the ruler of Muslims because he was the Khalif of Muslims. He sits on the chair of Khilafah and says, لا وحي نزل ولا خبر جاء. Oh no wahi ever came. Now that is hurtful. That is hurtful. It can make us cry and weep over it without the Messiah of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, because ma'azallahi ta'ala, it called the Holy Prophet a liar. Ma'azallahi ta'ala. So the Holy Prophet, when he said that this is wahi on him, he did not tell the truth. Quran says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The Quran kept on putting seal of truthfulness on it. Did Yazid forget that his own forefathers, I'm not talking of any other man, his own forefathers in Makkah called the Holy Prophet As-Sadiq and Al-Amin? What business did he have to turn around and say there was no wahi? Was the Holy Prophet to concoct 6,000 ayahs of the Holy Book at a time when those ayahs have knowledge which no human being ever had? No human being ever had knowledge of those matters. So this must have been khabar, news from Allah himself. And so if a person said these things in his lifetime, and this is in the lifetime of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, that Yazid said this, if that person then asked for bayah of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, what was Imam Hussain alayhi salam to do? He said, Mithli la yurahiu mithla, a person like me cannot make bayah of a person like Yazid. It could not ever be a political battle between two princes insofar as Imam Hussain alayhi salam was concerned. And so when bayah was sought and he decided not to give it, he calls his sister Bibi Zainab alayhi salam and says, Zainab, Yazid is asking for my bayah. What do you say about this? Look at the level of Bibi Zainab alayhi salam. Of course there was an intrinsic meaning behind this question, but ostensibly she was asked this question by an imam alayhi salam. What is your view about it? And Bibi Zainab alayhi salam says, "Yo, my brother, even if I was to be made a prisoner and your body was to be cut into pieces, you cannot make bayah of Yazid." And Imam says, Salam, prepares Bibi Zainab alayhi salam for it and says, Zainab, the cost of not making bayah will be immense. We will have to pay a very high price for it. Zainab, you will have to make so much sabr, there will be so much patience demanded of you, that it is not possible for me even to prepare you for that patience. Indeed, you will be made a prisoner. Your veil will be removed, Zainab. You will be paraded from Karbala to Kufa, and from Kufa to Damascus, amongst open villains, you will be able to see you. And Bibi Zainab alayhi salam replied, enough for me to finish my time on that one sentence of Bibi Zainab alayhi salam. Bibi Zainab said, oh my brother, I will make so much sabr, I will exercise so much patience, that patience itself will be surprised at the patience of Zainab. And we saw her living after it. She lived with so much patience that we are baffled that she was so patient. Imam Hussain alayhi salam says to her, Zainab, I am making a list of the men who will come with me to Karbala from Medina, because we cannot live in Medina anymore. But it is not enough for me to take men there. They will fight and they will be killed, and Yazid will throw a cloak over our shahada. He will conceal our shahada. He will give it wrong meanings. He will concoct stories about our shahada. I need a panel of the media to come with me. I will take my own media to travel with me, so that media tells the truth to the world.
And so I can only take women and children. You make a list. Make a list of those women who will withstand the patience. There cannot be women in that group who will surrender to Yahweh. There cannot be women who will get tired halfway. Make a list of the women you know. And hence Rabab is chosen. And hence Pista is chosen. And Summa Kulthum is chosen. Ladies of that level. Indeed, when Muhammad ibn Hanafiya comes to know that his brother is saying, he goes to Imam Hussain alayhi salam and says, "Oh my brother, I am told yes it was." Imam Hussain says, "Yes, my brother, what is your advice?" He says, "You cannot make bayah. What is your own decision? I am going away from here to Makkah. Makkah is a place of security. Who are you taking with you?" And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, "Women and children too." And Muhammad ibn Arabiya says, "No, my brother, you will not take Zainab with you. They are great enemies. Banu Umayya are the great enemies of our grandmother Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. You cannot, and your mother, that is really Fatima Zahra alayhi salam. You cannot take Zainab. You cannot take Umm Kulthum. You can, these are ladies who resemble your mother. They will torture them. They will entreat them." And Imam Hussain alayhi salam, at that time, that's no more of explaining Imam ibn Hanafiya is saying, "Sha'Allah, it is the will of Allah that he should be taken prisoner, that he should take them, should see them suffering as you say they will suffer." And Imam Hussain alayhi salam takes them. That stage is arrived when Imam Hussain alayhi salam gets all these ladies to climb onto these animals that were to carry them. They were indeed, these animals were loaded with places where ladies could sit on them in comfort. Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam stood on one side of the road, not allowing anybody to come onto that street because ladies were now embarking. Then came the time of the Zainab alayhi salam, and what happened is, Hazrat Abbas sends another person there, comes down in front, and has to come bring the chair for Bibi Zainab alayhi salam, because it was the climb was high for her. And indeed, he keeps the chair, holds the chair, whilst Bibi Zainab alayhi salam climbs onto the chair. Imam Hussain alayhi salam himself comes forward, holds the hand of Bibi Zainab, and takes her right into the Gajawa, right into that resting place, sitting place on that camel, so that Bibi Zainab alayhi salam is embarked upon this journey with honor and dignity. Come 11th of Muharram, Hussain alayhi salam is already martyred. Now these Shimr comes with camels and says, "We will help you embark." Bibi Zainab says, "No, I will help each of these ladies embark myself, and now Muharram does not touch us," and helps every lady embark. A time comes, she's alone. She cries out for Abbas and says, "Abbas, Zainab is ready to help her embark on this camel." Turns to Imam Hussain alayhi salam and says, "Oh my brother, will you not wake up from your sleep? How will Zainab now embark?" Ultimately, she embarks on her own and says, "Ya Rasulullah, we have kept your spirit," and goes to Kufa. And in Kufa and the Gospel, deliver those speeches that enable us to remind our son to Hussain alayhi salam. ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة